I'm a very grateful believer in Jesus Christ and having some victories over codependency and control and worry. My name is Alan. Yeah. And I thank everybody that's here tonight. And like I said, you're going to have to bear with me possibly. So we'll do the best we can. Okay, I was born in Long Beach, California, was raised there and spent the majority of my life in that area until the last 9 years. I was an only child, and I remember my childhood to be about as normal as you would think one should be. My mom worked for the Long Beach Police Department, and my dad was an LA County fireman and did carpenter work on his days off, usually with the other firemen he worked with. My years through grammar school, junior high, and high school seemed to be about as status quo as most kids experienced in the 60s and 70s. As I would get into the junior high through college years, there were times I could be very selfish, moody, and sometimes mean in my relationship with others. It mostly manifested itself towards my immediate family and dating relationships. This behavior would be a struggle throughout my life and probably contributed a great deal to my issues with control, codependency, and worry. The next chapter for me was meeting my future wife for the first time at a Christmas dinner at the fire station. Both our dads worked at the same station, and I became smitten with her immediately. And she happens to be here tonight, too, so I'm glad I said that. We began dating soon after this, and she asked me to attend the church with them. And it didn't take long for me to realize that what Romans 3:23 was true in my life. It says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It became obvious to me that Christ died for my sins, and I accepted him as my Savior. This was a huge change for me, because even though I did go to church some and believed in God when I was young, I didn't have a personal relationship with him. Soon after I trusted in Christ, my wife and I got engaged and were married at a young age. We became involved at church as deacons and in leadership in the new marriage class, and I was being discipled by a godly pastor who was our class leader. We started our family, had two sons, and embarked on our life as a Christian family together. It seemed to me that I was on my way to serving and living for God and being the man, husband, and father I was supposed to be. In retrospect, though, things have not gone the way I thought they would in my life and my marriage and my family. As the years progressed and I was attempting to find my niche in a career that I could sink my teeth into, those same issues of being self-centered, controlling, and lashing out were being fed and growing deeper inside of me. My behavior was having a devastating effect on my relationship with my wife and our marriage. I was driving a wedge in our relationship so deep that nothing short of God's miraculous work was going to be able to keep our marriage together. He did keep us together, but they were very difficult years. Conversely, in the same time period, my business career was taking off, and it seemed I had found that right fit for my strengths. It had always been my belief that my identity as a man and provider was directly tied to my career and striving to be the best at what I did, and then the financial security would follow. God was allowing this to take place, and our family was being blessed, and I was thankful. But in reality, I was slowly becoming more reliant on my own abilities. Without realizing it, I was taking control of these key areas of my life, essentially telling God that I knew best and for him to sit on the sideline until the next crisis appeared. At the time, little did I know that life-changing events and crisis were coming in the years ahead. I would continue to pour more time and energy into my work because more would equal increased security and financial stability, I thought, but at what cost? The cost would be on the most important areas of my life. My relationship with the Lord, continued strain in our marriage, and precious time lost with our sons. And my boys, wasn't I being the right role model as a Christian husband and dad? Well, in my mind, I thought more often than not that I was, but that was my own flawed thinking. Our family life continued for the most part in the same pattern as our sons grew up through high school. There was continued difficulty in our marriage, and as a result, I would pour myself more and more into my work. I was getting a false sense of security that when the rest of my personal life was unbearable, I could run to the one safe place that would give me peace and security, which was my job. What a fool I was, placing that idol where God should have been in my life. I have also come to realize that there were other areas of sin and habits that were being harvested within me, of pride and being judgmental of others. All these years, I've never felt that these were areas of weakness for me personally, and condemn others for being arrogant, prideful, and judgmental. Nevertheless, internal pride in my own accomplishments and judging others was creeping into my heart. These areas of dysfunction, coupled with just going through the motions in my Christian life, were setting a bad precedent for and foundation for what lie ahead. Before I move on with the kind of the timeline of my story, I wanted to share with you some behavior and events that I'm not proud of at all, but it was a part of my teenage years. Most of you probably didn't know that I picked up a name in high school that I actually carried with me through my life, which was Mad Dog. You probably can't believe that at all, can you? My friends gave me this name simply because many times I would get a wild look in my eyes and they would wonder what crazy thing I was going to do next. This wild behavior played a part in actions that spanned a couple years through high school and junior college. There was a guy that was a year older than our group that I hung out with, and he was a little bit different than we were, but we tolerated him because he made us laugh. He wanted to be a part of the group so bad he would put up with our constant teasing and hazing. These scenarios gradually escalated to where we would take advantage and treat him badly, but supposedly all in fun, or so we thought. One night's events sticks out of my mind, but in retrospect, it makes me ashamed about my involvement. We had gone to a large public park in my dune buggy, and I proceeded to chase him as he's running with my dune buggy. Yes, I broke the law by driving recklessly in all the areas not designated for vehicles, not to mention chasing another human being. As he stopped running and out of breath, we then coerced him to get on the merry-go-round when we spun him around until he got sick. It wasn't a pretty picture. Unbelievably, he still wanted to hang out with us because of his basic desire to belong to a group of guys, and we took advantage of that. Now, you fast forward to the point in my CR journey where I had done my inventory and was beginning to make amends to others. The Holy Spirit was reminding me of this time period and my part in this demeaning behavior to this guy. I felt compelled to call him, let him know that I was sincerely sorry for how I treated him. Not knowing how he would react, much less forgive me, that part wasn't up to me. I asked him if he would forgive me, and he graciously did. We then had a long conversation about what had been happening in both our lives these many years, and it was very good. He even shared how God was working in his life and how he relied on him. What a blessing that conversation meant to me that night. And God gets that glory. And he and I have spoken several times since then, and probably going to get together with him when we go to Southern California in a couple of months. In the early 2000s, my family and I suffered some devastating personal losses. In 2004, my mom went to be with the Lord as a result of a rare form of cancer and a stroke. In 2010, my father-in-law took his place in heaven because of the same cancer and other multiple complications. And in 2015, my dad joined both of them after a struggle with a form of dementia. In the same time period, our older son was becoming involved in a band and the music scene and the drug culture. He ultimately realized he needed help and successfully navigated through the Teen Challenge program. Determined to change his life, and he did for a time. What had developed in those difficult years trying to help our son were codependent patterns within me that would lead to devastating circumstances in the near future. In 2007, my wife and I had made a decision to make a life change and relocate to Tualatin from Southern California. While this process was being planned and beginning to be implemented, my older son was creeping back into the self-destructive lifestyle that he had overcome several years earlier. This direction for him began slow and subtle and even included getting a job working at a famous Southern California chopper manufacturer. At first, this seemed to be a positive career path for him, but it didn't pan out that way, and it ended badly. As he began to slide more and more back into the music scene and his addictive behaviors, he was becoming an expert at deceit, lying, and emphatically denying he had the same problem as before. Sometimes our family and I would try to believe him, and other times it wouldn't fly. But my son was watching carefully how I was reacting, and he saw a glaring weakness in me, which was full-blown codependency, which resulted in my enabling him like never before. What was to transpire in my relationship with my son in the next few years was nothing short of astonishing. He began to weave some of the most unbelievable scenarios about what was happening and taking place in his life in order to get what he needed from me, which was money and ultimately a lot of it. The picture he was painting about his circumstances began in similar fashion to what we had heard years earlier, but I couldn't buckle my seatbelt fast enough for what was to transpire. If you can just imagine the most intense, surreal, bizarre Hollywood script that could be produced. Oh, this was taking place between he and I. And it didn't take long for my wife, youngest son, and our family to see through the lies. For me, it was a whole other story. He was reeling me in, hook, line, and sinker. He knew every button and emotion to push with me, and it put me on my heels, ultimately on a daily basis. I was hopelessly trying to fix him and save him from these fabricated daily crisis scenarios, and it was taking its toll on him, myself, my marriage, and our family. The devastation was widespread, and it was transforming me into an emotional, physical, hollowed-out wreck. I had become totally deceitful to my wife and family about what I was doing every day by destructively enabling my son. Out of all the heartaches in my life with the loss of my mom and dad and father-in-law through the years, I was somehow able to cope and move on, sometimes by leaning on God, but more often by pouring myself into work. This time, though, I had become totally broken and brought to my knees in every area of my life. There seemed to be no way out of the spiral. I actually prayed for God to miraculously take me out of this mess with hopefully minimal consequences to pay. But I was living living the true definition of insanity by repeating the same irrational behavior over and over, expecting a different outcome. I'm sure we all know what that's like. Well, the inevitable happened, and we received a call from our son that he was arrested and in jail, which would be the first of several times. With the help of a police officer the family knew, we were given the news that all the things he was claiming to be true had not been taking place. That revelation was in one way a blessing and relief, but it forced me to make a decision. I had to admit to my family of the financial devastation I had caused and was still causing, with the thinking I was saving my son and family from the horror he was portraying to be reality. And it was daily horror as the years got closer to the end of this the situation. It just wasn't true, and I had to take the majority of our retirement funds to pay for the damage that had been done. For a guy who most of his adult life was working towards being successful in business and building some retirement, this was devastating. This had become one of my idols and a form of security. After this event, I reluctantly came to celebrate recovery because I was strongly encouraged by my family that I needed help. I didn't think I needed the help, but I didn't have any choice at that point. My bargaining chips were gone. After attending a couple of meetings, I was truly under the illusion that my issues weren't anywhere close to being as bad as the other guys in the group, and they were really messed up, or so I thought. It wasn't going to be a big deal. I can come for a little while, get fixed, and move on with my life. It was going to be a piece of cake. Well, the shock of the century was this was not the way it was going to work out for me. I found that I was a broken mess and needed to let God heal me, and committed to see real change in my life. It was truly amazing the acceptance, support, and love I received in my CR men's group. They strongly encouraged me to go through a step study, saying that this would help me take the next path in my journey of recovery. I did agree and joined with a group of incredible guys. And we've got a couple of them here tonight too, by the way, and I just think that's awesome. As my step study progressed, my son got out of jail and began to subtly ask me for help just so he could get on his feet. I began to fall back into that familiar trap of codependency and control, thinking I was just helping him out a little. I knew it was wrong. I tried to end it, and the blackmailing process began, and I was stuck again. Will this madness never end? Well, obviously, I wasn't willing to end it. So God did through a faithful phone call for my son, Super Bowl night, in front of my wife and family. It was obvious to them I hadn't stopped enabling him, and I was given an ultimatum to show proof by the next day if I was telling the truth or was continuing the deceit. Needless to say, it was a sleepless night. With no options left, I was forced to come clean about my continued involvement in enabling my son. I had to agree to every form of accountability and transparency you could possibly imagine. There would still be more pain to endure, though. My son then unleashed his full fury, not only on me, but my wife and our family. For some months, it was gut-wrenching on us all. It got to the point where we thought he would end up dead of an overdose or in prison. There was nowhere to turn but give my life and my son's life totally to the Lord. I did what I couldn't and wouldn't do before in my life, finally letting go of control of all these things and then wait for God to work. Regardless of the outcome, I had to trust him for what was to play out. This was one of the hardest things I ever do because I was the one that always knew best. I remember literally cringing in my office at home, on my knees, waiting for God to drop his hammer on me and our family. Proverbs 3:5-6 is so true. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight." Amazingly, God didn't drop the hammer, and I was beginning to experience his peace and comfort. He was in control now, a place he always wanted to be, and I realized God knew what was best for my life. It was a beautiful thing what he was doing. There were very specific answers to prayers that were taking place, and he was actually protecting my son from complete disaster. Then the news we had hoped to hear, my son finally hit his bottom and admitted he needed help, and he checked into a solid rehab program in Long Beach, and what a blessing that was to us. It took for me to finally realize I couldn't fix my son and let him go into God's hands for him to work in my son's life for his purpose. That's exactly what he is doing. My son has now been clean and sober for nearly 8 years. He is... He's thinking and acting like a responsible adult. He's not asking pops for anything, except for advice from now and then. But he's even found a career in the recovery industry. Even though there are difficult challenges and consequences to overcome, God has been there for him every step, pursuing him very clearly and walking through each hurdle with him. The Lord loves him more than I ever can imagine, and we are so blessed and thankful for where he is at right now. Now, I was looking forward to a season of rest and to continue to grow in Christ. I was becoming more involved in CR and leadership, and I will tell you it is so special to be able to see other men's lives being changed by Christ through this recovery program. I had also began to go through a discipleship with a wonderful guy here at Rolling Hills, and trust was being restored with my wife and my family. But God had some more chiseling to do in my life that I wasn't prepared for. Yet another area that I put too much security and faith in was shaken, which was my job security. Through a set of circumstances out of my control, my Northwest Territory was closed and I was out of work. It was 4 gut-wrenching months looking for a job, and any of our backup funds were gone, mainly due to my previous 4 financial decisions. Again, I had to trust God totally with an area I held dear to my heart and my control. The Lord did come through just at the right time with a perfect job based on my skill set, working for a great company and my ex-manager who knew me very well. I was finally getting the picture that God knows exactly what He's doing and what I need. I'm sure He was saying to me, "Come on, dude, haven't I proven myself to you over and over again? Just trust me, period, end of story." I'm very thankful for the Celebrate Recovery program and for the wonderful group of guys that came alongside of me at my lowest times. They encouraged me, they held me accountable, they shed some tears with me, and loved me unconditionally. They were Christ's hands to me, and this has opened up a passion in me to be there for other men in walking through this process of recovery together. Jesus Christ has taken my brokenness and has turned it into a good for His glory. He is slowly transforming my heart and mind into what He intended for me all along. Romans 12:2 says it best, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amazingly, my life's passions are literally changing, and I actually anticipate opportunities to be able to share with others what God has done in my life and how He can work in theirs. To kind of sum up here, in the journey of my life, I've been in the stands and probably at the snack bar mostly while thinking I was following God's game plan. Well, I'm finally getting into the game, and if I could sum it up with the song from John Fogerty, I think kind of says it best. "Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today." Thank you.